Welcome back, everybody. It is some ungodly hour in the morning, and it's still early for when we normally do these shows. This is Championship Week Video Notebook here at Hoops HD. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Day number five. Got John Salika, David Griggs, and David Dorman all with us tonight.
I'm in the bunker.
Griggs
I'm
still
out of
locked
the
away in the
bunker.
bunker. Thankfully locked away. You can let your pets out tonight. It's safe. I don't know what to say. This is our video notebook, though, where we like to do, we start with news and notes, then we go over everything that went on in the conference tournaments and preview all of tomorrow's conference tournament. So we've got a lot to get to here. News and notes, just a few things I would note here. First of all, Dorman, well, the CBI has announced that they are officially evaluating Detroit Mercy for a bid to give Antoine Davis a shot at the record. It costs $27,500 to get into the tournament. I think they would not have a lot of trouble coming up with that money if the school didn't want to pay it themselves. Hell, I'd throw them a few bucks.
I think Chad's bucks and then the school's bucks and we got a game. I definitely think this is all part of their marketing situation, and you will see Detroit Mercy in the CBI.
Yeah, CBI run by Gazelle Group. Detroit Mercy has been involved in other events with the Gazelle Group before, so there's a history there too.
Now, is that entry fee just if you're hosting, or is that just to play in the tournament period?
I don't know. I
It's
don't. No, no,
both.
no, no, no. Actually, the entire event's being held down in Daytona Beach again this year,
Oh, that's
so it
right.
doesn't
Yeah.
matter.
It used to be if you wanted to play at home, you had to pay them more. So,
Not
look,
much in terms
I
of.
love the Gazelle Group. It's a wonderful, wonderful group.
Not much in terms of regular season games today. In the Mid-American Conference, though, congratulations to Toledo, outright MAC champions. Congratulations to Kent State, overtime winning the wagon wheel game. And congratulations to Miami of Ohio, Stalika. Travis Seals' team loses, needs could still get in the back tournament if three other teams all lose: Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan, and Bowling Green, and they backdoor their way in with all four games going their
But
way.
in other words, a reward will probably be a matchup with Toledo in the first round.
That's exactly what it'll be, but you lose, and you have only one way to get in. Three other teams lose, and somehow you pull it out. Utah Valley clinched the outright WAC championship. As we record this, one game of bubble note in the Mountain West, Dorman, not final yet, but New Mexico's been down the whole game and is still down at Colorado State. That could be
Ooh.
the end of New Mexico here.
Yes.
Yes, they are down 8 with 8 minutes to go on the road at Colorado State. And I agree, Chad, if they lose here, they're done and would need to win next week in Las Vegas, the Mountain West Conference Championship, or their season will end.
Speaking about teams that are done, a little sad news coming out of Vanderbilt. Liam Robbins out for the season. He is their best player. 15 points a game, 7 rebounds a game. We were just talking last night that maybe this team had a shot getting into the bubble with a run in the SEC tournament. I don't know how they could do it without him, though.
Probably can't.
And
So,
they're going to be hosting Mississippi State on their senior day tomorrow, or should we say later today, now that we're into the waking hour.
I don't know how they can even win that game, but we'll see. If they can, hey, there still is a shot here, I think. But let's jump right into the conference tournaments. And the one conference that was up to the semifinal stage today was the Ohio Valley, which featured our first one seed to go down here, Dorman. Morehead State had the lead most of the way, but fell apart late and just kind of collapsed against SEMO.
Yes, they did. They had the lead most all the first half, but the second half, they really just couldn't buy a basket. They couldn't hit a shot, and SEMO scored enough to beat them. I like SEMO again tomorrow. I think that game, that Morehead SEMO game today, was for the championship. I think they'll handle Tech tomorrow. But yeah, unfortunately, Morehead State came up a little short, but nothing. Great season, Morehead State, with all their losses to come back and win a regular season conference championship. A job well done.
Yeah, and the late game there, Tennessee Tech, UT Martin, that just went final. It was close for a while. Tennessee Tech kind of put the foot down late. Tennessee Martin was playing a little shorthanded. Two players that were suspended for this game for the fight against Edwardsville. Tennessee Tech now with a shot for their first NCAA tournament bid since 1963. They've been in choice before, 58 and 63. I know Stalika remembers those tournaments well, but I don't know about the rest of us.
I don't think even my older siblings remember those games quite as well.
Yeah, this is the longest streak of a team that's been at least once before, the second longest streak behind Dartmouth of a team that's been at least once before and hasn't been. Could end tomorrow, that streak. Griggs, I actually like Tennessee Tech in this game. I actually think SEMO is a better team, but 4 games of 4 days versus a team that played 1 game so far. That's why I think Tennessee Tech, SEMO may just run out of gas in this one.
They might. And you just kind of get the sense in this conference. We talked about there was a 6-way tie for first at one point, and there just isn't a whole lot of separation, though. But so. I don't know, but that is a factor that they're playing their fourth game in 4 days. So I kind of would like, as a sentimental favorite, I'm kind of rooting for Tennessee Tech because they haven't been in the NCAA tournament since, what did you say, 1863? I mean, it's been a while.
1776. Where were we going with any of this? I don't even know. We just completely. Yeah.
Tennessee Tech hasn't won a conference title in a while.
Yeah, Tennessee Tech has not won a conference. Oh, I was just going to mention as well, as far as the 4 games of 4 days, though, a few years ago, if you may remember, Austin Peay did that same run in this Ohio Valley tournament, no longer in the conference, but it has been done in the OVC before.
That had an asterisk because I think they had to win a game at their last regular season game just to get into the tournament. So they really won 5.
It was quarterfinal round day, Stalika, in arch madness. And let's start with the top half of the bracket here. Bradley got by Northern Iowa, but how about the Belmont Indiana State game?
This was a game that Belmont actually ended up making a second half comeback, and then they ended up trading shots with the trees. But ultimately, it was going to be Indiana State that gets the win in a coin flip game right here in the late afternoon of St. Louis.
Yep, and Dorman in the late session here. Drake and Southern Illinois both got battles, especially Southern Illinois.
Southern Illinois was in a battle to the final possession, yeah. Missouri State was tough. They're stingy on D. They hit some big threes early in the second half and found themselves like a 5-point lead with about 5-6 minutes to go, but Southern Illinois got down tough on defense, got some big stops, and finally their star hit some threes, and they ended up pulling. They didn't even pull away. They ended up winning by 3, but it was very tight.
Yeah. Oh, there was a shot at the buzzer by Missouri State to tie that was just off. So there's never a pull away by anybody in this game.
Nope.
Griggs, how about tomorrow?
Much better day of games today.
Yeah, way better than that Thursday games. But Griggs, what about these two games tomorrow? Bradley, Indiana State, Drake, Southern Illinois.
I like them both. I'm going to pick the chalk, but I think that they're going to be exciting games. You might remember that for the first half of conference play, I think Indiana State was the team that most of us, at least me, was the most impressed by on Under the Radar. They were getting most of our coverage. They fell to 5th. But they still have a high ceiling. But I really like how Bradley's been playing, minus today when I know they had to sweat out you and I. But I just think Drake and Bradley are so much better than or just a little bit better than the other two teams. I think they all four are.
All four of these teams, I think, spent time in our Under the Radar top 10 list this year. So
yeah, they did. Yeah.
Sleek, any thoughts? You agree with him on chalk or you want to go somewhere else?
No, it was good to see one of Titel's favorite names pop up for the trees in Crevassier McCauley, former ball standout. But I don't think it's going to be enough tomorrow, as Bradley and Drake probably end up advancing to the championship game.
And God, what a game that's going to be.
I have a feeling about this SIU team. I don't know what it is, but I could see them pulling that upset. But I do like Bradley in the first one. Dorman, Big South Conference. Charleston Southern hung with Asheville for most of the game, but then the second game of the day was the game of the day between Upstate and Gardner-Webb.
Gardner Webb was leading basically the whole second half. The USC Upstate started the fouling game, and what ended up happening was Gardner Webb threw the ball away, trying to get the ball inbounds, and USC Upstate was ready to foul, except Webb threw the ball to Upstate under the hoop. They pitch it out, and Upstate, I can't remember his name, hits a three off the glass with 0.1 seconds remaining for a huge upset victory, and it was a fantastic game.
Well, it was a little bit more than even. They were down five. They came down the court, yeah. Hit a three.
Yeah, they were down five with 6 seconds to go and won.
It's down five, hit the three, get the steal, pitch out to Jordan Ganey, their star there for Upstate, who hit that three at the buzz with 0.1 seconds left. Unbelievable game, unbelievable finish. If you didn't see it, go find it on YouTube. This was definitely the game of the day, though. So congrats to Upstate. Got a tall order there tomorrow with Asheville, though, Griggs.
Yeah, they do. I still like Asheville. Like Asheville to win this tournament, especially since the team that I picked, Longwood, got eliminated. I think it's theirs the rest of the way. But what was a funny story about this game in the Puppet Bunker today, there was a crew of people watching it, and it was just after the steal, it was like, oh, it's away. Oh, it'll count. Oh, it's way off, because it was way off.
Yes, it was way off the glass and in. It was just, yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was a shot that was so horribly off that it went in because it hit the backboard at a crazy angle.
In the bottom half of the bracket here, Stalik Campbell with the big upset of Longwood. Longwood just fell apart in the second half of this game, and Radford just kept Winthrop at arm's length the whole game.
It's not former standout Chris Clemens, but having at least one Clemens on the roster seems to give Campbell a little bit of extra juice right here. And unfortunately, not a double elimination bracket, so no Wynwood Cup in the semifinal this year.
I was going to say, he's not even related. Ricky Clemens not related to Chris in any way. But can we do anything to get a consolation bracket here, the two losers, and go head-to-head?
We need to reach out to the big stuff.
Wynwood Cup is not happening. What about the Cam Rad Cup, though? Camford,
the Rad Cam,
the Rad Cam Cup,
Rad Cam Cup. Any, can Campbell do it again?
Yes,
I
think they can too. Like you said, Chad, they beat Longwood every which way in the second half. It wasn't really close. They pulled away in the second half and didn't look back. And same thing with Radford. Radford was up basically 8-6-10 the whole second half, and they didn't let Winthrop come back in the end. But yes, if you're asking, I think Campbell can do it. I've liked this Radford team all year. I thought they were one of the top teams in the conference that kind of stumbled in the middle. But we have a fantastic Final Four in the Big South.
Okay. We kick things off in the SoCon tonight. Griggs, what a pair of thrilling games.
I was glued to my set. I just couldn't look away. It was like a train wreck.
A pair of complete blowouts. Mercer took care of Citadel easily. Chattanooga took care of VMI easily.
Not really much else to say other than that.
Well, how about tomorrow's games, though? First of all, can either one of these winners from today pull off the upset? Mercer against Samford. Keep an eye on, I think.
If I'm going to pick one of the two, I would pick that one, but I don't think – I'm not picking it if I don't have to. So I don't think so.
How about the other two games here, Dorman? Wofford against Greensboro or Western Carolina, East Tennessee State?
I'm going East Tennessee State, and I am going to take Furman over Mercer. I know they won big today, but I just think it was more of how bad and how awful Citadel shot the ball. They were down 20 right out of the gates and never came back. So, yes, I like East Tennessee State to play Furman on Sunday.
And how about the bottom half? Is it Greensboro, Samford?
I'm with you. I think Chattanooga has a chance. I think they're going to give Samford everything they're looking for. Samford pulls it out close in the end, and they get a shot at Greensboro.
No Wofford. Sleeky, not going on the Wofford train here?
Bit of a tumultuous season for Wofford compared to years past right here. Samford, Chattanooga should be interesting, but I don't think Greensboro has too much difficulty moving on in their quarterfinal, to be honest with you.
Summit League, Stalika. It was first round day in the Summit League, and it was also a pair of snoozers as North Dakota pounded Denver. Omaha pounded Kansas City. The only surprise here was the lower seed both times that did the pounding.
Now, fortunately for them, there's no reseeding, so at least Omaha will get to go up against the quasi-home team in South Dakota State right here, and Oral Roberts will get to open up against North Dakota in this instance.
Yeah, Oral Roberts, an interest. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Chad. You were going.
I was just going to say there's only two quarterfinals tomorrow. They are the Oral Roberts, North Dakota, and South Dakota State Omaha games. The other two aren't going to come up till Sunday. But go ahead, Griggs, about these two games tomorrow.
Well, it's just an interesting setup. Oral Roberts did run the table during the regular season. I don't think it's enough. I know our selection committee guessing expert really likes them, or he says he does, but then he doesn't put them inside of his bubble when he's guessing the committee. I don't think they will be considered very long because of how weak their schedule was without winning the tournament, as good as they are.
One more game, Dorman. I know you were glued to this one today. Well, a couple more games, but first of all, this one today.
This game is so meaningless, Chad. I can't even see it.
Monmouth, triple figures, 100-64 over Hampton in the first round of the Colonial. They advance to play Drexel tomorrow. Your thoughts on that game?
Monmouth got out to a 20-plus lead and never looked back, and it was a blowout from the beginning.
They go out and play Drexel, but we have the second round tomorrow here. Griggs, William & Mary, Elon, Drexel, Monmouth, North Carolina A&T, Stony Brook, Delaware, Northeastern. Still the top seed's not in action. But do you see any seeding upsets tomorrow?
Yeah, I like Elon over Bill & Mary. I know Bill & Mary's not easy to play against. I just think it's not that I think that the higher seeds are particularly good. I just think Monmouth and Northeastern in particular are atrocious.
I kind of agree with you there. And Elon actually was playing well towards the end of the season. I could see them definitely winning this game. A&T Stony Brook, Salika, you want to take anything on that game?
A&T and Stony Brook.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Not really.
Well, so let me stick with you here. West Coast Conference. We're recording a little bit early again tonight. BYU did come back from down most of the game to just completely turned the gas on midway through the second half and ended up rolling over Portland towards the end there.
Yeah, fortunately, this was not as good of an appearance for Portland as they had back in the Phil Knight Invitational back in November right here. I think BYU has a decent chance to knock off Loyola Marymount. That's been rather hot and cold in the season.
Yeah, that was 52 points in the second half of BYU. They only had 30 in the first. To the story of two halves there. As we record this, does somebody have a score on that San Francisco Pacific game?
They just went to a timeout. I will give it to you as soon as they come back.
All right. We don't even know what the score is in this
game. What the score is. We are not prepared tonight.
San Francisco and Pacific are in a timeout. The winner gets Santa Clara tomorrow night. I believe that San Francisco was up by about 10 points, though. I don't know that either. Well, I don't know, Griggs. Do you think either one of these teams could beat Santa Clara here in the late game on Saturday?
No.
Okay.
San Fran is up 14 with 6 minutes to go. With 16 minutes to go in the second half.
So San Fran looking pretty good to advance to that game. Yeah. But if anything happens, check out the tournament tab up top there.
Yeah. One of my favorite games for tomorrow is Loyola Marymount BYU. That could be a great game down to the wire.
I think so as well. And the winner of it gets to get beaten up by St. Mary's on Monday night. But that's it for the games that were played today. But we have a few more conferences that we've got to get to for previews for tomorrow, including it is semifinal day in the Northeast Conference. And this is huge, actually, because the first game here between Merrimack and Sacred Heart, should Merrimack win this game, that second game will determine the automatic bid winner. Should Sacred Heart pull the upset, then Tuesday will decide the bid winner. So, Griggs, what do you like in these games tomorrow?
I don't like that.
Okay.
but as crazy as I am picking Merrimack, to win the game and really win the whole tournament. So I do think that I think Fairleigh Dickinson, this game tips at the same time as the OVC, so it might be a close finish. Who is officially getting the first bid? It's always the OVC. It's always been. The only time it wasn't, we had COVID. Should we be concerned, Chad?
Nah, you know what? Because remember the old days of the Ivy League before they had a tournament? They'd sometimes have their bid clinched before.
Oh, yeah, good point. Okay, okay, yeah, you're right about that. Okay, okay, so that was close. I think Fairleigh Dickinson locks up the bid tomorrow.
Do you agree with him, Dorman?
I like Fairleigh Dickinson to win and also Merrimack. So, yeah, I think this is going to be over tomorrow as well.
Right,
and I'm with Greg that I hate this format as well. If they're in Division One and they're in your conference tournament, let them play for the tournament. The whole thing doesn't make sense. I just don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, this could be the second consecutive year that we have an ineligible transitional team winning a conference tournament, which maybe will finally get the NCAA to pay attention here and change this 4-year transitional rule.
Yeah.
Stalica, we are back in action in the Sun Belt. We finally have the top four teams coming in action here as well. We have Southern Miss, South Alabama, James Madison, Troy, Louisiana, Georgia Southern, and Marshall, Texas State. Your thoughts?
Well, it was the women's tournament for the quarterfinals today, so that's why we're going to end up having the men's quarters in Pensacola for later on today. Marshall, Texas State could also be a little bit interesting, assuming Texas State, they're not playing the three games in 3 days for the reasons we mentioned earlier. I still think Marshall probably going to be the favorite to come out of the bottom half of the bracket right here. But I do think James Madison is going to be hungry and angry after getting locked out of the CAA tournament in their final season last year.
Yeah, they might be, but I kind of like this Troy team. And Dorman, don't Southern Miss Bear not overlook South Alabama tomorrow?
You're correct, and this is a spot I talked about last night. I like, especially in the first half, getting onto the gates, the team that has already played a game. They have they're ready to go. They've taken a punch or two in the day before. They've shot in the arena. I agree, Chad. South Alabama might be able to give Southern Miss a game. And I was high on James Madison coming into the year in this conference. I didn't think they performed as well as they should. But Troy is live tomorrow. That could be an upset.
Yeah, we could have some pretty interesting games, especially. Yeah. I think maybe the afternoon session may even be the better session than the night session here.
Agreed.
Griggs, we have two more conferences that we have not yet discussed, kicking off their conference tournaments, beginning with quarterfinal day in the America East. NJIT at Vermont, Binghamton at UMBC, Maine's at Lowell, Bryant's at New Hampshire. Bryant, who had been near the top of the standings for much of the season, going all the way down to the sixth seed. Your thoughts
on New Hampshire finishing third? Good for them.
How about Maine finishing seventh? Good for them.
Maine finishing seventh. Lowell, one of the stories early on, still finishing second. They've had a fun year. And, you know, Vermont turning it around. Are any of these games actually going to be any good? I think Vermont rolls. I'm taking chalk. They're all at campus sites, and I think the chalk holds.
Binghamton, UMBC, maybe. Binghamton had a pretty good season, but I kind of and even Bryan, New Hampshire could be an upset. In terms of seeds. Dorman, who do you think wins this entire thing?
I would like to see Vermont, UMass Lowell one more time. I think it's a fantastic game, a fantastic matchup. I believe it's next Saturday would be in Vermont, on their campus. That place, that gym absolutely rocks when that bid's on the line. I feel like see that game. I feel like we see that game every year, but it is fantastic, and I love to see it. And I think Lowell can give Vermont everything they can handle and maybe more. That would be a fantastic championship.
Are you going to go with the upset then? You going to take Lowell?
Yes, I'm going Lowell.
Sleek, are you with him?
I'm going to say once the team of the people, always the team of the people. I will at least go with New Hampshire for tomorrow right here or later on today.
I thought you were talking to NJIT. Come on, the original team of the people. So go ahead.
Yeah, but I'm still going to stick with my Jerome pick of Vermont right here for the conference tournament.
I'm with you, Vermont, to win this. And Sleek, let me stick with you. We have one other conference kicking off tomorrow. It is first round or opening round day in the Big Sky Conference with the this conference is 7-8 versus 8, 9 versus 10, like we saw earlier in the A-Sun. So it's Idaho, Northern Arizona, Northern Colorado, Portland State. Any upsets in these two games?
Well, you could look at Idaho potentially just because, well, it's not going to be their true home, but they're going to be up the road from Moscow, Idaho, where their campus will be located. So I'm thinking Idaho, and I'm going to say Northern Colorado probably win their openers.
Okay. And does Eastern Washington win this event, or are you going with an upset?
I'm not sure about Eastern Washington, given the way that they lost their last two right here. Montana State, who was originally picked to win the conference, I think they've probably been playing the best basketball of late.
All right. Dorman, who are you going with?
With Stalica. I like the hot team coming in. I think Eastern Washington had a great year, but like Stalica just said, they're kind of struggling at the wrong time. I'm with Stalica, Montana State.
I don't know who I picked at the Jerome. I don't think it was who I'm about to pick now. I've kind of reevaluated. I'm going Weber State in this event. You know, a team that kind of very quietly snuck up and grabbed that three seed after having a fairly weak season before that. But, Griggs, where are you going?
Eastern Washington.
Okay. At least someone's going Eastern Washington.
Well, I thought he was going to go Sacramento State.
Sacramento State. There we go. That concludes all the games that are on the schedule for tomorrow. We will also have a lot of regular season action. We'll have 12 conferences releasing their brackets, 13 actually, because we're still waiting for the WAC to come out. They won't release theirs until tomorrow when their resume system releases. But let's go to our survival board, a tool we do for the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee. We are tracking on this how many teams remain alive to not only win an automatic bid and qualify to the NCAA, win some type of bid, automatic or at large, qualify for the NCAA tournament, and potentially win the national championship. Heading into the day today, 295 of those teams remained. As we record this right now, It'll actually be 275 by tomorrow morning when this last West Coast Conference game goes final. But, right. Griggs, what do the various categories here mean?
Okay, well, there's a lock, meaning are we doing all four? Because there's the automatic bid.
Okay, like, okay. Tell us what all
the categories are. We're going to have one of those tomorrow, possibly two. Then there's the lock, which is you don't need the automatic bid to get in. You're in. It's not even a question. The committee will come here, and they'll select all the teams in blue. That's how they know to select them. The other category is under consideration. Maybe they'll take them, maybe they won't. And then the fourth category is you can get in, but you have to win the automatic bid. And that's why we give those teams a distinction, right, Chad? So the committee will know, oh, this team won a conference tournament, we have to take them. And the reason we know that is because they're in bold on the Hoops HD Survival Board.
Right, and we're going to start seeing bold all caps teams tomorrow, at least from the Ohio Valley. But if a committee member comes and is wondering whether or not they should take Marquette, they'll see him in blue, and they'll know the answer is?
Yes, they have to.
If they're wondering whether they should give an at-large bid to DePaul, it could happen. That they would think about it. What would this board tell them?
No, you can't do that.
Because they're auto bid only.
Yeah, they're auto bid only.
And what if they're wondering about, let's say, West Virginia? Well, Green.
That's something, like, we can't do all the thinking for them. We can't do the whole process for them. Okay. So that's something they're just going to have to decide on their own.
I think that finishes off the show for tonight, Griggs. Am I correct?
No, I'm getting out of the... You said you'd let me out of the bunker tonight. No, not this again. No, we're not doing the stupid blind resume.
He's got the teams up there.
Just read them, Griggs.
Oh, okay.
I would like to guess what we...
It was Michigan and West Coast.
Okay. Griggs, here's our test today. If you can guess both these teams correctly, we will let you out of the puppet bunker. And I know you came close a couple of times, and I wanted to give you a little bit of help because this is a tough one. I think we'll all admit this is a very tough one. These are both members of the Beehive Conference.
Wow.
Okay. Well,
you should get this.
It can't be Utah or Utah State. It might be able to be Utah State, but that's a lot of sub 300. I don't think it's either one of those. I don't think it's BYU because I don't see. Well, it might. The one on the right might be BYU because that could be Gonzaga and some other team. That's still it can only be two teams. It's Utah Tech and Southern Utah. There we go.
Utah Tech and Southern Utah. Did he get them right?
These are the two only two behind teams they could beat.
No!
No, those are not teams.
Grambling and Southern. The Grambling Tigers were our Beehive champion this year. So they played Southern in Salt Lake City, Griggs.
Not the Beehive!
Do you need proof? Do you need proof? I can even bring up the proof here. Give me 1 second. There it is. There's the Beehive. Oop, that's not the Beehive standings.
That's the back rain.
That's the back rain standings.
I think I should be let out now.
There's the Beehive standings. Look what I see there. Grambling and Southern. Gave you a great clue.
Ridiculous.
Completely blew it.
Well, if you go back to the team page right here, it's also a red hot Grambling team who's won 8 in a row.
Look at that, heading into their regular season finale tomorrow before the SWAC tournament. Let's go to final thoughts here. Stalika?
Well, we have a game here that's about to go final, and it is not going to be good news for the New Mexico Lobos, who looks like they are now down 10 with just under 2 seconds left. So they are going to need to really make a auto-bid-only type run in the Mountain West Conference Tournament sponsored by ConExpo ConAGG.
be a few years off of that one. Dorman.
This is fantastic basketball. I love this weekend. Tomorrow and Sunday are both fantastic. The Ohio Valley is going to give out a bid tomorrow. We'll know our first tournament team. The Missouri Valley semis are going to be fantastic. I'm intrigued by both West Coast Conference quarters. And the big boys, the power conferences, get their last game. And we know a lot of teams are do or die tomorrow. So we should have fantastic games all weekend long. And the conference tournaments, a lot of these under the radar quarters and semis, just fantastic basketball.
Yep, we really should be. Greg, do you want to finish us off?
Yeah, I just kind of want to say, like, in order, I think I have found a purpose for the transitional teams. They can go to conference tournaments, and like Dorman had an interesting point, how sometimes a higher seed coming off of a bye is really rusty in that first quarter final game. Well, we'll send the transitional teams to play against the top seeds in a bonus game. Well, so even if they, even if the one seed loses, they're not eliminated. It's a bonus game.
Now, remember, back in the day, the MEAC had two transitional teams. They played each other during conference tournament time.
It was the MEAC bonus game. It was always a doubleheader.
Yeah, it was a doubleheader championship day. The two transitional teams would play first, and then the championship game. It was the MEAC bonus game. It counted in the standings. And we've kept that tradition alive with the AC8, which will be coming up another week and a half.
Yes.
I would also like to add one more final thought with New Mexico's loss tonight. San Jose State has now clinched a bye in the Mountain West Conference Tournament.
Yes, so they have.
Congrats to Tim Marga.
Why would you buzz that?
because it's Tim Miles. On that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. On behalf of John Stalika, David Dorman, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll be back again tomorrow night with another video notebook at some ungodly hour. Talk to you again real soon.